Today's daf is daf Pei Zayin, Masechet Bava Metzia, 7th Perek, Asocheret HaPoalim, bringing you the daf Yomi from Finland today. And we are at the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis, the last five words. We've been in the middle, you may recall, at least I hope you recall, we've been in the middle of a long Agadata which was analyzing the Maisa of Avram Avinu, the Zechuyos that came out of his interaction with those Malachim, what the Malachim did, and how it is that whatever happened there had implications for the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated his children. All of this we got to because of our Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about someone who goes beyond the assumed chiyuvim that were the norm in the particular place of what he's going to feed his po'alim, and he makes a promise of something additional. But there the Mishnah said, afilu kishlom, sudat shlom ha-melech b'sha'ato, you wouldn't be able to be yotzei, which is mashma that the sudat of Avram Avinu was even greater. And that has brought us to an analysis of all of the details of that event. But meanwhile, we expand that event to go into the implications of Michael, who had come to be Mavash, and the latest Yitzchak, and then went on to be Batzilet Lot. So today the Gemara wants to go into the contrast between the presence of those Malachim at the Sud of Avram Avinu and their entry into Sodom. Ask the Gemara today, Maishna Legabe Avram, why is it that when they came to Avram Avinu, it says there, Kenta Aseka Shedibarta, that the Malachim immediately accepted what it was that Avram Avinu had said to them, which is that they should stay with him. Mashenkin, when Lot said this, Mashna Gabe Lot, over there it says, Vayivtsar Bam Me'od, that he had to keep arguing with them and begging them not to sleep in the street, but to come and to stay over with him. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mikan, Shemisarvim Lekatan, Ve'in Misarvim Legado. So you see from here that you take your time before you accept an offer from an Adam Katan, but that it's improper and impolite to make a Gadol ask you more than once. So therefore, when Avram Avinu was an Adam Gadol, asked the Malachim to stay, they accepted immediately without any further ado. Now, the Gemara continues now with various diukim in the Maaseh of Avram Avinu at that Seuda. So, Chtiv, it says by Avram that when he spoke to the Malachim, he said, Ve'ekcha pat lechem, I will bring some bread. And that's all he mentions. But then immediately afterwards, Chtiv, Ve'ela bakar ratz Avram, that he went to bring meat. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Mekan shatidikim omrim ad vasim harbe. From here we see that a tzaddik will speak a lot less than he ultimately does. Whereas when it comes to Rishaim, it's the exact opposite. Rishaim omrim harbe. But even ma'at, afilu ma'at einam osim, minalan, that we see also from the interaction with Avram, this time with Ephron. Mi'ikara eretz arba miot sheko kesev bin yuvin chamayi. When Ephron hears that Avram Avinu wants to buy the ma'arata machpila, he says, ah, what is it? It's nothing. Please just take it as a gift. Ulbasof k'tiv, v'yishma Avram el Ephron, v'yishkal Avram el Ephron et ha-kesev asher diber bozvei b'nechet, arba miot sheko kesev over la-socher, which means that he had to give him absolutely the best coins, lo shokam and ele kantari. The only thing that Ephron would accept, not only didn't he give it to him as a gift, but he accepted the type of coinage that are overweight so that they can be accepted anywhere, even people whose scales aren't all that accurate. The ikaduch to the card le tikla kantira. There's places where they call the shekel a kantara, and over there the shekel is slightly heavier, and the reference there is the type of shkalim that Ephron demanded. K'tiv, now it says, in the words of Avraham to his wife, it says, Ma'ari shalosh sayim kemach, and then it says, solet. Now, kemach is a much less quality grind than solet is, which is the absolute creme de la creme of the wheat. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak mikan shayisha tzara enea beorchim yoter mena ish. So indeed, Sora, which spoke about, was bringing kemach, but Avram had actually requested that there be solet. And women like to tone down what it is that they're going to be giving to the guests. Well, Rabbi Yitzchak mikan shayisha tzora aneav, enea beorchim yoter mina ish. Because Sora asked to bring kemach, and Avram said to bring solet. K'tiv, furthermore, it says that Avram said to Sora, lushi vasilgut. But k'tiv, in fact, at the time that they were bringing the things to the guests, it says, Vayikach chema v'chalav uben habakar, and there's no mention of the things that he had asked Sarah to prepare. So lechem lo hayti lekamayu, despite the fact that he had ordered the bread to be baked. Omar Afrayim Mashka'ah, Talmidosha Rabbi Meir, Mishmeida Rabbi Meir, that what had happened was that Avram Avinu was careful always to eat his chulin b'tahorah. And Sarah Imenu, you'll note that because this was the day that the Malachim were mevaser her, and it was chadar liyot l'sarah ad nakanashiv, so she no longer had a period at her age, but once they were mevaser her, indeed she once again began to menstruate, so she had an actual pirtzav nidot on that day. So Sarah Imenu oto yom pirtzav nidah, so she got once again derech nashim, and therefore she was unable to bring the bread because it was no longer b'tahorah. The Malachim ask Avraham, and where is your wife Sarah? And he responds, she's in the oil. What is the point of mentioning this conversation? That what we're trying to see over here is the Malachim never saw Sarah because she was so tznua, but she was in the tent the entire time. Omer of Yidom Arab, Vitema Rabbi Yitzchak, obviously, Yodim Ayu Malachia Sharet Shasari Menu Ba'ol Haita. I mean, they knew that themselves. So what was the point over here to ask and have him say Hinei Ba'ol? Because they wanted the Malachim to get Avram to recognize how special she was, Kedei L'Chavava Al Ba'ala, that people note that she's extremely tzanua, and that that's beyond what would normally be expected, because here the guests are asking, where indeed is your wife? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina say, the reason that they asked was because they wanted to give her the kosher bracha after Birkat HaMazon. So it was k'dei l'shager l'kosher bracha. Tani mishum Rabbi Yosi lama nakod al ayo shebe elav. Why are the words olive yud vav in the posik elav a nakud? There's a little dot on top of those letters to tell me that limdat Torah derechet shishal adam b'chzaniyah shelo. And when a person is staying over in somebody else's house, it was not that he should ask Aye, sorry, she talked about Ayo, how are things with you as well, so that he can know, show concern for the home in which he's staying. Ask the Gemara, how is it that they could do that if Omar Shmuel, Ein Shalim B'Shlomi Shaklal, they should not be asking at all about her. Where is she, how is she, or anything like that, because you don't ask about a woman that is an indication there's a relationship between the two of you which is inappropriate. Answers the Gemara, yes, but al yedei ba'ala shayni. It means that you don't ask a woman directly, but to ask a husband how his wife is doing, that's okay. Now, it also says that Sarah was speaking in her heart, and she said to herself, listening to those malachim, how absurd their besura is. Acharei veloti hayta li edna, which means, what is this baloti and edna? Omer Rav Chisda, achar shenitbala habasar verabu hakmatim. So what she's saying is that there is an acharei, there's a lot over here of baloti. So my flesh has become worn out, filled with wrinkles. Shall it be now nit aden habasar v'nit pashtu akmatim? Shall the flesh now become young again and supple, and all of the wrinkles smooth out? V'chazar hayofi limkomo? And shall the beauty go back to what it once was? Says the Gemara, on the one hand it says that when Sarah was laughing, so it says, "Vatitzchak Sarah b'kirba limor, acharei veloti haitali edna," and she stresses, "Va'aduni zakein, my husband's an old man." And yet when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks over to Avram what it was that Sarah had said, so he says to him, "Lama zetzachaka Sarah limor afum name leid va'ani zakanti," and he didn't mention what it was really that she had said, that my husband is old. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not quote her to say Adoni Zaken, so that it's not really an accurate description of what she had said. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, from here you see Gadol HaShalom, Shafilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo. From here we see how great is the issue of Shalom and Shalabayit, that even God allowed a little white lie, despite the fact that Chotamo Emet. So that means that there is a deeper emet, the emet v'shalom ha'evo. Because even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mishamesh, Shema v'titzchak sar v'kirba v'adoni zaken, v'divayom ha'shem el Avram, she said v'ani zakanti. Afterwards, when Yitzchak is born, Sarah says, v'atomer mini lela Avram einika banim Sarah. So einika vanim is much more than one, but she only had Yitzchak. How do we explain that? Omar Rabbi Levi, v'to ha'yom shegamal Avram et Yitzchak beno. That was the party day for the weaning of Yitzchak when he was 24 months old. Asas uda gedola, so he made a beautiful party as a seudat hodaah for the nes that had happened. and that they, Baruch Hashem, had finished and he had nursed properly. And every one of the goyim was sitting there whispering, of course, muttering. Look at these old fogies. They found a baby somewhere in the marketplace. And now they're making a party for his birthday. Ah, this is a riot. So what did Avraham Avinu do in order to show them how wrong they were? So he invited all of the leaders of all of the nations of his generation. And so too did Sarah invite all of the Rebbetzin leaders. They all brought their little kids, you know, in the backpack. They wanted to show that she didn't have any milk, so they didn't bring along any nursemaids. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Sarah Imenu b'derech neis so much milk that she was able to nurse all of those children. So in that way they could see. And still, of course, they said, well, okay, so Sarah, 90 years old, had a baby, but you don't really think that it's Avram's baby, do you? After all these years? Avram ben Me'asha, now you lead. Miyad nepach klaster panav shel Yitzchak v'nid mela Avraham. And so the face of Yitzchak took on precisely the face of Avraham to show that it was genetically his child. And at that point, patru kulam v'amru, and that's why the pasuk repeats it, because it's actually the words of everyone at the Suda. Avraham olidet Yitzchak, despite the fact that we knew that. But, as Rashi says, that everyone could be made. Avraham olidet Yitzchak. Says the Gemara now, actually, ad Avraham lo haya zikna. We never find anyone old before Avraham. The first time it mentions zikna is in terms of Avraham Avinu zaken baba yamin. So there was no such thing as looking old and white-haired in those days. And so because of the fact that Yitzchak looked exactly like Avram, there was no way to tell the difference between Yitzchak and Avram. And therefore, if somebody wanted to have a word with Avram, he would speak with Yitzchak and think that it's Avram. If he wanted to speak with Yitzchak, he would speak with Avram and thought he was speaking with Yitzchak. And they would look so much alike. Ata Avram ubo rachme, so Avram Avinu came and was mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there should be a change in a human being to indicate his advanced years. V'havei zikna, shnemar v'Avraham zaken baba yamim. And until Yaakov Avinu, we do not find anyone getting ill or sick as they approach death. So ad Yaakov lo havei chulsha. Ota Yaakov boy rachmi. Yaakov came, it was mispalel, that a person should become aware of his approaching demise. And that way his children will come and will surround him and he'll be able to give over his last will and testament and do teshuva. So comes along Yaakov Avinu to Bevakesh, Ravi Chusha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him the wish that there shall be a gradual loss of life into death. Shenema Vayomer LeYosef, Inei Avicha Chole. And that's the first time that we have that. Adata Elisha, Lo Havi Decholesh Ve'itpach. And until Elisha came along, no one ever recovered from such an illness. Ata Elisha Barach Ve'itpach. Elisha was Mevakesh Rachami, and the illness became something that would pass. Shenemar ve'Elisha chalat chol yo'asher yamut bo, michlato chol chol yachrite. First time we find somebody ill and recovering is from the indication by Elisha that he became ill with that illness that he was to die from. So apparently there were other illnesses that he had not died from. Tana Rabbanu shlosha cholayim chala Elisha. Actually, Elisha had three periods in his life when he was ill. Echad came as a result of the sin, shedechafula Gehazi b'shtei yadav, that he pushed away Gehazi with such strength and turned him into a leper and made him feel that his situation would be hopeless forever, and that way he was dochem him from doing teshuva. The other one was echad shegira dubim betinokot, when he was being laughed at by the kids, and they were calling him Baldi, Baldi. So he had the bears attack the kids. And then there was the Choli Shemetbo. As it says here, Shemev Elisha Chala et Choyo Asher Yomut Ba. And you see, Chala, Choyo, Asher Yomut is three separate Chalaim. Now, it says in the Mishnah, you better go back there and stop this before they start working and tell them that they're only getting Chumas and Pita. Tzev ha'mor lehem almanat shen lecham alay alapat v'kidnit. Omer le'Rav Acha, brother of Yosef Rav Chisda. The story over here is that Rav Yochanan ben Matya told his son, the only thing that you should give them is pat v'kidnit. Is that accurate? Is it, or was it pat kidnit? That he was offering them not bread and chumas, pita and chumas, but rather he was offering them a pot that was made out of kidnit, or indeed is it pat v'kidnit not? Omar le, so Rav Chisda said, Elohim, I swear to God, tzricha vav kimordia l'delibrot. You better stick a vav in there and make sure that it's pat v'kidnit, like one of those big sticks that they use for pushing off the boat in the Labrot River. So they used to have these, Mark Twain sticks.
Yeah.
And you make sure, what do they call it?
Polling.
Polling, yeah. You make sure that vav is as big as that pole, and don't you ever leave it out. Continues the Mishnah. Einot tzarich, there's no need to tell them that the nizonot means pat v'kitnit, because anyway, hakol k'minhag ha-medina, there was no need to say anything. Now, hakol latuyemai, what is this hakol come to tell me? Natuye ha-detanya, ha-socheret ha-poel v'amar lo ke-echad, you hire somebody to work for you, and you say to him, look, I'm going to give you your sachar, like one, or kishnayim b'bnei ha'ir. So you tell him, I'm going to pay you the standard wage, or you tell him, I'm going to pay you the amount I would pay for two people. You would take as the baseline a minimum wage in the city. Actually, what you do is you take the mean wage, and that becomes now the base of one or doubled if it were two. Richie, it's time for the introduction. The Elo Ochlin, the following workers, eat from what it is that they are actually working on, min ha-Torah. Because the Torah gives a right to an individual, as we will see, who is working on agricultural goods, to eat from them. Someone who is oseh b'mechubar lekarka, is working on those things which are growing in the ground, b'sha'at gemar melacha, he's taking them out of the ground, so let's say he's doing the ketzira. U'betalush min ha-karka, or he's working on things that have already been cut, so he is working on them before they are already nigmar malachto for maaser, which is the last stage. So let's say he's doing the winnowing or something. Ubedavar shegidulo min hakarka, or he's working on something that grew from the ground. But elo she'ein ochlim, the following, however, are not going to have the zechut to eat from the things that belong to the balabayit, other than, of course, what he feeds them. And that would be a'oseh b'mechubar lekarka be'ena, sha'she'in gemar melacha. So he's working on things, let's say, like weeding, or watering, or hoeing, things that are not yet at the end of the growing process. Or he's working on talush min hakarka, it's already picked, but it's achash enigmaro melachto, and now it is already in b'chuyev to take maaser from it. Let's say he's moving a pile of peyrot or something from place to place, or a kree. Or bechlal, he's working bedover she'en gidulo min ha'aretz. Then none of those cases would be considered a right for him to be eating from. So there's, let's say he's making cheese, for instance, from the milk that he's taking from a cow. That's not called gidulo min ha'aretz, and because of that, there's no halacha of ketush tavo bekerem re'acha. Minan emili, how do we know that a poel eats from the balabayit if it's b'chubel karka? Tichtiv. Because it says in the Torah, ki tovo b'kerem re'acha, if you enter now into your friend's vineyard, v'achalta anavim k'nafshecha sovecha, v'elkel yachal lo titen. Eat as much as satisfies you, but do not put any into your containers. And again, the naive reader thinks that this may mean that the Torah has been mafkir. Everybody's kerem. Walk into a guy's kerem and eat whatever you want. All right, so we'll have to see that it's speaking over here. Somebody who was working, b'shas gemar malach, and all of these things we're going to get through here in the drasha. So, ashkechan, kerem. First of all, this is limited because it only speaks about kerem reyacha. I mean, maybe that's dafka din in wine or anavim. How do we know that this is true of any agricultural product? Kol mi'le minalan.
Well, it says, why can't we learn it out of Kerem? I mean, ma Kerem miyuchat, davar shigidulei karka, ubishat gemar melacha po'el ochel bo. Just like here, we're talking about a vineyard which grows from the ground, and a po'el has a right to eat from it at the time that it's being completed, and there's nothing else to be done. So too, ko gidulei karka bishat gemar melacha po'el ochel bo. Says the Gemara, who's to say? I mean, maybe malakaren shekein chayev ba'ololot? Maybe the reason that the po'el has a right to eat from a kerem is because the kerem is something that has a unique matana to the poor. Because it says, lager le'aton v'almana yiyeh, the ololot, which are the type of grapes that grow on improperly formed clusters. So they don't, there's a whole discussion in the Mishnayot how to define those, but they don't have the typical cluster shape. And that, of course, is a brand new type of matana, ololot. We don't find it in any other type of agriculture. So maybe, indeed, the Torah has a very special halacha legabi a worker, just like it has halacha legabi the poor. But how do we know other agricultural products give a worker a right to eat? Answers the Gemara, gamrinan mikoma. We learn it out from the growth of grain, where it also says the poor can eat. Does it, says the Gemara? The kamaguf. I mean, Alan, how do we know that the Torah gives us a right to eat from grain as well? Ah, because the very next pasuk says, after the kerem, ki tovo bekomatreyecha, vikatafta mililot biyadecha, vechermesh lo tanifa komatreyecha. So apparently you have a right to take single grains biyadecha, but you do not have a right to go and to take a knife to harvest with. So clearly we're talking about the time of the ktsira, and it's okay for you to take individual grains. So therefore, we now know that there's this halacha that a poel has a right to take. But maybe kama is indeed special too. Maybe kama sheken chayevet bechala, in the same way that the Torah was mechayev you from grain to take off chala when it's made into a dough. So too does it give a special right to a poel to eat from it. But how about those products that have neither ololot or chala? Maybe I don't have a makor that a po'el has a right to eat from them, just because they're gidulei karka, says the Gemara, umimai da haikama la kama de mechayevet b'chalai. I mean, you've jumped ahead of yourself here. How do you know that the word kama means tafke chameshes mine dagan? I mean, maybe it's talking about kama, anything that grows, and it could be referring to various types of legumes, beans, who says grain? So duma ko kama kama rachman. No, that I don't think, says the Gemara, because there's a gzera shava, you see. Here it says in the din of the poel, and it says in the dinim of Sfirata Omer, the same words. So there you're supposed to count your tachelis por shiva shavuot. So just like by Sfirata Omer, we know that it's referring to Seorim. So it's talking about a kama, the mechayeva bechala, and Seorim are one of the chamesh minei dagan. So the Gzera Shava teaches me that only a kama that's chayev bechala, and therefore perhaps it's only because of the chayev in chala that the poel has a right to eat from it, says the Gemara. Well, ikal mifrach ma lekama, shekein chayevet bechala, so that we can ask, how do you know you can learn anything else? Well, because kerem yochiyach, kerem is not chayev in chala. Ah, but malakarim is chayev ba'olalot, and maybe that's why a poel can eat it. Kama tochiach, and therefore we have a classic v'chozer adin. The common denominator is clearly neither something that has to do with olalot or chala. So lo rizek rizek, what's the tzad hashava then? The tzad hashava is that they're both agricultural products that bishat gemar malacha poel achal ba. So af, so too, I will learn that all things, kol davar shegidulei karka, as long as it's shat gemar malacha, the poel has the right to eat from it. Well, maybe not. I mean, maybe atzara shaveshabahem is because both of these products are brought on the mizbeach. I mean, a kerem is the source of the wine of the nesachim, and a kama is the source of the menachot. So you want to add and say, and therefore I can derive all things. Fine. You can derive all things that are on the mizbeach, for instance. I'll tell you what you can derive. Oil or zeitim. So you can say, if somebody is working with zeitim, so indeed he has a right to put an olive into his mouth, no? So, atinam izayah, to eat beit sad mizbeach. But, I mean, we certainly cannot learn all gidulei karka. All we can learn is the olive. Says the Gemara, no, olive I don't need to learn from a mahatzad. Zayat b'mahatzad ati. is not a zayit also called a kerem? I mean, who's to say that a kerem meant dafka grapes? Yeah, I mean, it does say dechtiv vayivar migadish vaad kama viad kerem zayit. So you see that a zayit is also called a kerem. So I don't need now to learn out zayit from a ma'atzad. Rav Papa, that's not so. It may be called a kerem zayit, but it's not called stam kerem. And the posik over there has about kitavo bekerem reyacha, not kitavo bekerem zayit reyacha. So kerem zayit ikre, but kerem stam alo ikre, and therefore I would need a ma'atzad to learn out olives from between the common denominator of kama and kerem of grapes. Okay, but anyway, getting back to it. So, mekoma kom kasher. So, how do we know? We're still stuck. How do we know that a poel has a right to eat any agricultural product, and we shouldn't limit it dafka to those that are mentioned or that have etzad mizbeah? Elomar Shmuel Omar Kra, actually, when the posik says ki tavo, bekomat reyacha vekatafta mililot biyadecha, vechermesh lotanif. That chermesh is rabot kol ba'alei chermesh, anything that you would normally use, an agricultural knife of some shape to harvest, and that would include also kitniot and so on, so that too would be included. But the high chermesh doesn't come to tell me the knife, it's coming to tell me another very important part of the drasha, namely that b'sha'at chermesh echol, the only time that you have a right to take these melilot biyadecha is dafka b'sha'at, that should be holding the sickle, the scythe, and so on, that's the time of the ktsira. So then you can eat, but shalot b'shat chermesh, if it's not the time of the harvest, lo techol, and therefore you cannot use the word chermesh to say anything at all that would require some form of an agricultural blade. No, says the Gemara, ahu mi el kel yecholot itein nafka. I know that it's talking about the time of the ktsira, because when it says, but don't put it into your kelim, what does that mean? Put it into the kelim where it belongs, meaning the kelim of the balabayit. What kelim of the balabayit? If we're not talking about harvest time, so there's nothing to put it in. Leave it on the stalk is what it should say. Instead it says, don't put it in your kelim, put it into his kelim. So therefore, I know clearly it's talking about at the time of the chermesh. So therefore, I can use the word chermesh to tell me anything at all, any agricultural product that requires harvesting with an implement. Says to him, okay, fine. That only includes things that need to be harvested with an implement. So tenar de bar chermesh. But how about if a poel is working on something which is a lav bar chermesh? It's something that is not used, you don't use any instrument to gather it. Let's take a look, for instance, if you are gathering dates. So how do we know that over there you also, I mean, all on that over there, the poel also has a right to take it? Ella, you know what, forget about this whole approach. Let's take another approach. Omer b'yitzhak, omer krok kama, way we said it before, rabot ko ba'alei kama, anything at all that stands on the ground and that is taken off the ground, he has a right to. But wait a minute. We've been through this already. Didn't we just say, Va'amrit, that maybe kama is special because it's a kama that is chayev in chala? So I don't understand. How did it suddenly turn into a kama, which is everything? Says the Gemara, well, hani mili, when we said before kama, that was before we got to the word charmesh, which included anything that needed an implement to harvest. But once you know the word chermesh, why do you need the word korma? I mean, obviously, if it needs an implement to harvest, it's something that's growing up on the ground. So therefore, hashda ati chermesh. So now I know anything that requires a sharp object. So kol dabar chermesh, which even includes kitniot and so on. And those things are not chayim and chala. So now I come back and I say, so what's the point of the kama? The kama can't be talking about things that are dafka chayim and chala, because we already know things that are not chayim and chala. So kama lamali, therefore, must be to tell me any agricultural product that grows up on the earth is sufficient for the posik to be giving the rights to a poel. If it's at the time of the Gemara Malacha, it's the right for him to take for himself while he's working on it. V'ashter nafka mecharmesh umikama. So now that that's true, let's go back to the kerem reyacha. Why do I need that at all? Because a kerem is also included under chermesh and kama, right? So kitavo bekerem reyacha lamali, what then is the meaning of that blessing? I mean, we've gone back to kama from chermesh. Now let's go back to kerem from chermesh and kama. Amarava, it's to tell me la'alichotav, the various halachot. So from kitavo, we learn kitatanya. Kitavo nemar kanbiya, v'nemar la'alan v'lo tavo, Alav Hashemesh. So here it uses the word bia to come in. And when it comes to the parsha of paying the schar sachir during the day of the work, So there it also uses that word. It says, "Beyomo titen scharo velo tavo alav hashemesh ki anihu." This man is a poor man, and he's been risking his life to do his work for you. And you better make sure that you pay him on time. So we learn from there, Ma'ala halan b'poy alakatuv medaber, just like the lotavo alav hashemesh is talking about somebody that you've hired, afkan b'poy alakatuv medaber. Because as we pointed out earlier, if you wouldn't have that pasuk, you would think it means kitavo b'komat reyecha. You can walk into a guy's field, and it's okay for you to eat. And the Torah is giving a general, as long as you don't take too much, there's no problem of putting in a few dollars worth of stuff into your, which is ridiculous. That's not the din. How do we know that that's not the din? From the earlier pasuk of kitavo b'kerem reyecha, that that's like kitavo is a lotion of schirut when it comes to payment. So too is the kitavo b'kerem reyecha dafka talking about poel hakatuv medaber. So that's what that first part is. Furthermore, b'kerem, we have the word reyecha. Now that means velo b'kerem kuti. The halacha would be that the limits of eating, you're not allowed to eat more, take more than you can eat right now. Those limits do not apply in a non-Jew's kerem. What do you mean they don't apply? That's, I mean, if you hold that you're not allowed to take something from a goy, so then fine. But l'man d'yomer gezel kuti mutar. But if you hold, you're even allowed to steal from a kuti. So ash the gzela mutar poel mi boy. If the gzela itself is mutar, so, is there a problem of the poel? I need a pasuk to tell me that a poel is working is allowed to take. Says the Gemara, the Einachinami, the man d'yomer holds that gezel kuti is mutar. He learns kerem reyecha comes to tell me reyecha v'lo shel hegdesh, that if you're working in a field that belongs to hegdesh, you're not allowed to take any of its perot. The next word in the pasuk is v'yachalta. V'yachalta means v'lo motzeitz. You can eat it, but you can't take a grape, suck on it to get out the juice and throw it out. So you have to eat it and complete it. Anavim means you could take the anavim. That means when they're raw. You can't start turning them into a nice salad by adding all kinds of stuff to them, which is going to increase your intake. So lo anavim b'davar acher, so you can't have now other stuff with it to make it more tasty. So you want to salt it or whatever. You can only eat what you would eat raw as it is. Kinnafshecha is what it means. Kinnefesh shel ba'alabayit kach nafsho shel po'el. Ma nafshecha ochel upatur, af nafsho shel po'el ochel upatur. Here, what is that coming to tell me? That's coming to tell me that the din, just like if it would belong to you, you have certain rights. So too, if it's the poel, you have those same rights. So just like if it's yours, it's still achilat arai, and you do not have to take off maaser. So too, the poel can eat, and has no problems. He's potter from maaser, because even though now he's been koveh his achila from this, it's considered to be lo nigmar malachta. Sovercha, velo achila gasa. You can only eat what you would eat to make yourself satisfied, but you can't stuff yourself to survive longer.
Yeah. The weather, the winter,
exactly. Yeah. Kel yechal lo titein b'sha'ah, what is this coming to tell me? That the only time, it's not a poel that's working on anything, the only time that a poel can take is b'sha'ah sh'ata notein l'kel yosho b'alabayit, only at the time of the Ketzira, in other words, the Gemara Malacha, where you would be putting it into the cave of the Balabayit, only then ata ochel. But b'sha'ash, i'ata notem the kelav sheba alabayit, if you're not holding by the time in which you're doing the Ketzira, then enoch inami, i'ata ochel. You have no right to take at all. So all of the halakas are derived from here. And that's why that first parsha introduces, even though in the end we're going to know that all agricultural products are included, but the first parsha introduces the dinim of maaser, and that we're talking about a poel, and what type of poel, and the inyanim of hegdesh, and akum, and so on. So the mela, we need both parshios, one for the overall rule, and one for the detailed halachot.